Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is my daughter Rachel's birthday. It is October 19th, 2017. It's Thursday, and I'm Michael Kohlberg. I am in Hudson, New York, where it is definitely fall, although it's sunny. And I'm here with my friend Ann Orderly, who's traveling.
I am. I'm in Zion, in Utah. We're having an astrology conference that starts in a couple hours. And I'm presenting and I'm teaching and it's fun. And we had a big party last night and everybody's happy and having a good time. And it's wonderful. And happy birthday, Rachel. How old is she today?
29.
Wow.
I know.
That's a big year. I love 29. That was one of my favorite years. Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, happy birthday, Rachel. So, yeah, well, Scorpio's talking. We got a new moon on her birthday. So she's having a major new beginning. It's this afternoon. I'll look and see when her solar return is. But it's for all of us, it's a big new moon. It invites us to leave behind what we need to let go of and get rid of it and for us to move forward. It's very big, very powerful. Now, it doesn't mean you've got a month to get it gone out of your life. Because today we're deciding. We're going, okay, this is the plan, ready to go. It's the wrap-up of energy. Think back to 1982 and what was going on then, November of 82, because the story is kind of tied in with then. And now it's like, okay, we're forward motion. We're going to do new stuff. And new moons are always fun, and this is a very powerful one because it's tied to the node of fate, which means that we're making fated choices that will affect our lives, and it's also tied to partnering with ourselves in a new way and releasing whatever doesn't serve us anymore. So one of the guys here is one of my favorite people in the world, and he was down in Calistoga, which is where they're having all the fires. So I was talking to him last night. He was talking about going through his apartment and picking up the most favorite things, or his house, and loading them in. He's got a lot of really beautiful things. He's one of those guys that is really appreciative of art, and he is an artist, was an artist in his earlier lives, his earlier lives in this life. And so he said, my hotel room looks like my apartment because I have my sheepskin rug, and I have my various inside, which I loaded into my car and drove away. And he, right now, his house is okay. But he said, I was really cool with if everything, you know, that I leave behind in here has to go, I'm okay. I'm good with it. And so, you know, we were talking about the fires and people's houses just going up like tinder blocks, just boom, they exploded. And he was talking about the fire on the ridge and looking at it and not really being able to put together what it was. Like, what was it? You know, because it woke him up out of a sound sleep to the smell of smoke, but that awareness of like leaving behind a life. So I thought it was a particularly potent conversation. And he walked through his house and he went, what of this do I need to take with me? And what is the most important thing? You know, and he picked those most important things and loaded them into his car. And he said, I'm ready. And he said, I'll go back to the apartment, but I realized all this stuff I don't really need anymore. So I think all of us, you know, using Hal as a metaphor for the rest of us, you know, what is our most essential stuff? You know that poem you love, Michael, about the time is now in the river, get in the river and who's riding with you. Yep. It's that kind of energy, everybody. So, and it also is reflective on loss, you know, so we see in the news all the hoo-ha about Donald and calling the people who lose their children. And, well, that's what he signed up for. So it happened. You know, it's pretty hard, you know, whatever, you know, consoling the widow of the guy who got captured and tortured and whose body wasn't returned right away.
Right.
So what's in your world?
What do you think that Donald signed up for?
I think that Donald Hale said this really funny thing last night. He goes, he's chemotherapy for America. And I went, wow, right? You know, what does chemotherapy do? It poisons you, makes you really sick, but it hopefully heals you. So I was like, I like that analogy, Hal. I'm going to use it. I'll give you full credit. So that's from Hal Bahar out in Calistoga, California, who is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man. So I think what Donald's showing us our shadow, you know, the parts of us that are unknown. And also we have a chart that was built by the Masons, and they have a do unto others as you would like them to do unto you chart. That's what it's set up like. So when we do bad stuff, we get it back. When we do good stuff, we get it back. And we've been doing a lot of bad stuff lately, so we're getting it back. Karma? I don't know what you want to call it. I don't like to say that tit-for-tat thing, but, you know, our charts, Saturn is going retrograde for the first time in our country's life, and it's going to be retrograde for 80 years. So it takes us back on our bad behaviors and has us look back on them and make atonement or fix them up, figure them out, and that'll take us back to World War One, essentially. Time of World War One, you know, the stuff we haven't done that hasn't been well behaved since World War One.
Right.
So, yeah. So we'll see. It's a hard patch for the America. And it's okay. I mean, we're supposed to learn something. Every other country goes through it. They've all had wars. They've all had, you know, we've Roman Empire, Europe. I mean, you know, they've got thousands of years of history. We don't. We're a relatively young country. We only have 240 years of stuff. So we're about to go through the crucible to say, well, what kind of country are we supposed to be? And Donald, as our leader, says, are we like him? Is he who we want, saying this is who we are? And I do think that the good part about it is a lot of people are reacting and going, I don't want to be like him. And then there's other people reacting and going, yeah, he's my guy. And so there's an awakening happening here. And I can then ask yourself, you know, if you think of America as having a cancer, Donald's our chemotherapy, what do you usually do when you have chemotherapy? You know, so Michael's thinking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's loaded for me at the moment. But
I know. Yeah.
It's just too recent. I just had to go through because they keep sending you bills even if you paid them, and I have the capacity, unfortunate capacity. Like I had to check dates, and each date I looked at. I didn't have to look up in calendar, but I suddenly was transported to re-experiencing it. So,
right.
I was thinking if I had, I guess if I thought of two things. He reminds me of what I imagine a fracking bit looks like.
Okay, I like that.
And then the other image was, I don't remember who said it, but it was when he challenged Tillerson to an IQ contest or something last week.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the night hosts said he actually, and I he just did a, I don't listen to it, but I read it, but I actually had the experience because he described it well. He couldn't imagine Trump successfully completing the mazes that are in the children's coloring books at restaurants. And I went, I can't either.
Right.
Yeah. So it's causing me to disconnect completely.
Is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to connect to light and to connect to whatever my version of God is, the divine. And I stay in my own conversation. I just won't get sucked into the conversation that's being had because it causes my frequency to get lower. And the most important thing, I mean, I had a client yesterday morning. I usually see both the husband and the wife, but just the husband came. And I love these people. And they run a business that interfaces with people and taking care of people. And he's binational. He's got ADD. He had to raise himself. His parents were unavailable, really. And what he doesn't pay attention to is he has this gigantic heart. And he's able to give so much more to his children than he received.
Mm-hmm.
And he survived so much, really, I mean, there was a lot of money, but there was neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on his own and shipped off to boarding school, and he was very, very young. And suffers, you know, has anxiety and stuff. But he's not taking into account what a big-hearted human being he is. And mm-hmm. I think that that's what we need to do, is not get distracted towards paying attention only to what is being put in front of us, because it's not ultimately what is important, and it's
mm-hmm.
trying to direct us away from the exit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've got to keep our eye on the exit, and the exit is through expansion here, not contraction.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Anything at all that is in any way divisive,
mm-hmm.
just don't put your energy there.
Right. Wait. Don't participate in it.
Nope. You know, just keep picturing that we're all in this fragile little piece of rock floating around in space together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we're wasting time trying to harm each other, we're not paying attention to what the truth is. The truth is we're in it together.
Right.
And we have to find ways of accessing our commonality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching and trying to figure out, there's an organization here that helps, that I support, that helps. It's for preteen and then teenage girls who
mm-hmm.
have underprivileged backgrounds, all different kinds of underprivileged backgrounds, in terms of ethnicity and race and all that stuff. And what isn't being taken care of here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to figure out how to do it, is it's very threatening to the parents that their children are getting this input.
This support. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and which makes complete sense to me. It's we can't leave the parents out. You know,
you always need
to join with the parents. So it's not a contest. It's the same thing as in adoption. It's like, you know, a child's biological family is a part of their heritage. And if you want the child to value all of who they are, then it's important, I think, that the adoptive and the biological parents, if they have the capacity to do that, know each other and get along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they each have something different to give that is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's this skill set that I have called clinical mediation that is so underused. And it's always frustrating to me that I don't get a chance to use it. I taught it at this Yale Law Clinic, which was an amazing experience. It really works, but people don't quite get it yet. And I'm not a believer in mediation, because my experience of that is that everybody's led to a place by somebody who's not necessarily all that knowledgeable about what the substance of the thing is. So everybody's led to a place that is equally unfair, and then they're left there and the person disappears. And clinical mediation is you get to a place where you have a hypothesis about what might work, and then you ask them to try it and report back to you what worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's in the coming back that the two sides see, huh, they're really interested in having a solution too.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts them on a more even playing field where suddenly they're sitting next to each other on a couch looking out over a problem going, well, what do you think about fixing this? As opposed to they're across from each other trying to prevail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right. That's what this country is in the midst of is, and the world is, there's a lot of attempt to prevail. And so much of it is secretive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get a little hints of things now and then, but the stuff that is on the news is absurd,
mm-hmm.
at least in the printed news, which is what I look at.
And then regular news, too. It's all, it's, you know, kind of following the story. Well, it's what I watched last. Rachel Maddow's on a little later out here. She's on at 10, so I caught her last night, and we finished up and got back to the rooms about 10, and she was doing the whole assassination, a note that Lincoln wrote to one of his friend's kids who got killed in the Civil War, and it was right after his child had died, and he and his wife were in extreme mourning over that, and, you know, kind of the example of presidential presidents. So there was a handwritten note. She read it on the air, and she said, now, this was going on, and while that was being covered, what wasn't being covered was this. And she did this whole, you know, what are we being distracted by
right.
versus what's really going on over in the corner there. You know, it's kind of
right.
the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. And I think if we start thinking of this as the Wizard of Oz, and we start looking and going, okay, so, like, what's going on in the corner now that we're deferring and distracting, right? And whatever that deferral and distraction is, you know, she kind of talked about, you know, what you do is you create a kerfluffle to the left of it and get everybody paying attention to that, and then they're not paying attention to what's actually going on. So so I think that's an important note for all
yeah,
of us.
We're saying the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To pay attention.
Except I don't
to,
see it as the Wizard of Oz. I don't think that image doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Wizard of Oz, ultimately, there was an inadequate being behind a curtain.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who was
mm-hmm.
trying to do good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And here, it's more like the Emperor's New Clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you have you know, millions of lunatics lining the streets
mm-hmm.
afraid to comment on the fact that this idiot is walking around with nothing on
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and is under the impression that he has clothes on.
Right.
And that he's not being viewed.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he doesn't know he's viewed? Because he listens to all this stuff people say about him that's negative and reacts to it.
I don't think that he has an accurate... I don't think he has a center that holds long enough for him to have something really that one can view. I think that what we see is a compilation of reactions.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think there's a coherent center there.
Okay. Cool.
No.
That makes sense.
But I mean, it's we definitely earned this, and the only interesting picture I saw in anything this week was there was a picture, I think it was in your post or something, when I looked online, of Paul Ryan, and he's starting to look like who he is.
Oh, I didn't see that one. What
yeah.
did he do?
He's just a fetid soul. And
what kind of soul?
F-E-T-I-D.
Oh, okay, stinky. Yep, got it.
It's like just corroded. And but he's starting to, you can see it. Now,
yeah, mm-hmm.
it's becoming less concealed. So I don't know. It's just, it's so sad. It's made me much more interested in sticking around because I do not want to leave my kid in this.
Right, right.
So, you know, I've noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Why
well, I don't know if it's good. It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Just it just is something that I noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. So.
And I can't figure out. I was trying to think. Not trying to think. I was trying to feel my way through. It's like there was such energy for something huge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's happened to it. It doesn't feel like it's gone, but it doesn't feel like it's imminent now.
Okay.
I mean, have you had an experience of that?
I was going to ask you, and I forgot to last week, if you thought it was the Vegas people.
No.
The Vegas shooting, but no, it wasn't that. Okay. And you don't think it's Puerto Rico?
No, no, because it's something, it felt to me like it's something that's not going to disappear with a few news cycles.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Like that
it would
was
be
the,
around longer.
Huh?
It would be around longer, yeah.
It's going to catch everyone's attention and everybody was going to go, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that takes down the entire power grid. I mean, something. It was something that was like paradigm changing.
Okay.
Is the point. And it could just be, you know, that it was, I added my desire for that to happen to whatever energy was floating around. I don't know. I don't know.
So that we were kind of a combo, you know, a combo deal. That energy.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is it gets clearer and clearer to me that this is a time to is so important to connect with your soul and to know who you are.
Right, because it's really that to that through that path lies. Salvation, or through that path lies clarity. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to take that time to do it. Somebody suggested something to me yesterday, and I thought it was really good. Like to imagine, you know, right before you go to sleep, kind of do a big whiteboard, and then kind of imagine your guides writing on it, or, you know, kind of asking a question, okay, like what's next? And then kind of looking at the whiteboard as you go to sleep. And I thought, well, that's an interesting imagery. Of course, last night I fell asleep on the couch with Rachel and forgot about doing it. But I'll try tonight to do it. But as a way to connect in, or as a way to kind of...
Yeah, I was just going to say, everybody's got... the way I like to work with this kind of stuff is to imagine that there's a palette. And... anything that's ever worked gets put on that palette so that when you're trying to center yourself or take care of yourself, you look over on the palette and go, huh, my instinct is to try this. And then if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. You've got all your other things.
Right.
So
I
was feeling extraordinarily fragile because of stuff going on, like really fragile. And I didn't like it. It was a feeling I was unfamiliar with. And it was weird. I mean, I found my way through it by just accepting that that's how I was. And I had to, I knew what the straw that broke the camel's back was. And I wrote out all the stuff that preceded it. And it had to do with a person. And I was supposed to have a meeting with the person. And then after having a meeting with him and a few other people, and I went, this isn't going to work for me. I'm just way too injured, I guess. So I asked if we could have the meeting first, just the two of us. And I said everything, and I said it. I wasn't angry at all. I was just, I spoke with as open a heart as I didn't know how it was going to be. But I took the time to really sit outside. It was in the city, and just breathe and just be very connected to myself. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, I felt supported from inside to say what was the truth and all of it.
Right.
And I got this such sweetness back.
Wow.
I mean, it made me cry. I just felt so seen, and it was a really wonderful experience for both of us, actually. And that made everything a little better. And then when I got back up here, well, actually, that happened before I went also. I have the runes, R-U-N-E-S. They're these little Celtic discs. And I've gone through periods of my life where I've done them 3 times a day, and then periods where I haven't done them in 2 years. But and they're out, but they're not, you know, dead center. I walked by, and they called me last week. So as this was going on, I've done them once a day, and they are so absolutely dead on. And the stuff that I was getting, you know, the first one was, you know, guess you're moving very quickly, da-da-da. But then it started getting into constraint, lack of movement, you know, all this stuff. But again, with it's moving. It doesn't feel like it, and this is the hard part. But every day it's something quite similar. So it at least makes me feel like this isn't happening because I'm fucking up.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people, at least the ones that I'm seeing, at some level think that their experience is what they're having because they're fucking up.
Right. And it isn't. It's tied to other things. But because we're having such a sensitivity to, is this something I caused? Or is this something I had something to do with?
Right.
We are, you know. So when we were talking earlier, we were saying, you know, America deserves this.
And so it is.
And so it is, but we as individual citizens maybe didn't do anything. But what is our culpability as a citizen of this nation? What is our responsibility? You know.
Well, and also that feeling is really an acknowledgement that we're connected to the whole.
Yes.
And therefore, if we work very hard and become really diligent about only doing things that raise our frequency,
right,
that will affect the whole as well.
Right.
Even though they're very quiet, nobody's going to know about it, and we're just one little person, all these people who are doing things to raise their frequency, it will affect the whole just the same way that those of us who are sensitive are experiencing these feelings of being at fault for what the collective has earned. Does it make sense?
Yeah, totally. You know, it's kind of like bailing out. You know, you have to let your kid take the consequences of their speeding ticket, you know. So on some level, we're looking at that, but on another level, what's our vision of what we would like after we finish the speeding ticket debacle, although it's probably a little bigger than the speeding ticket. So it's really about personal responsibility and being responsible for, you know, when the people get despairing, I say, well, you know, we're all incarnated here. I mean, I'm not going to say I know the answers, but we're all incarnated at this time for a reason. Our souls said, yeah, I'm in. So whatever we're in for, we have to kind of go, okay, I'm in. And, you know, what's my job here, you know? And so that, I think if we do it, that means spoken like a good Virgo. But if we look around and we say, well, what's my contribution? what am I here for? So you're here to take care of Rachel, and you're here to help your clients, and I'm here to do astrology and help people, listen to their heart path when the world's crazy and do their heart path, whatever that is. And, everybody has a job. So,
well, I think that I want to say a couple things. I think that everybody is getting as much pressure as possible placed upon them to not see things this way, to actually pay attention to what's happening that they're exposed to, and then experiencing all of their reactions to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what Anna's
mm-hmm.
saying is the exact opposite, which is don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to who you are. And it's a big mystery a good deal of the time. I didn't understand what my path was, what my purpose was until not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly within the last 10 years, when there was enough, because I'm going to be 65 in a couple weeks, I was pretty old. And I looked back and I went, oh, my God, all of these completely unrelated things suddenly made complete sense when viewed through the lens of what my purpose was. And my purpose, mm-hmm. it turned out, underneath everything, is to create and hold space for the new.
Mm-hmm.
So if I look back at my life, there have been a whole bunch of systems that I've demolished, either mm-hmm. knowingly or unknowingly, or barriers I've broken through. And I didn't understand until later that created a lot of space for the people who came after me in a variety of ways. So the big deal there is that my purpose was accomplished by being, not by doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like at those times, I wasn't trying to do anything. I was being me.
Right.
So for a lot of us, like the person I met with yesterday, it's not that relevant what he does.
Mm-hmm.
His contribution is to take care of and support this huge heart and not let it get contracted.
Right.
And that already is a huge contribution to, in his case, a big contribution to the whole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can feel it. It's just a big heart. And does it obviously affect things? Not particularly. Is he aware of it? No, the opposite, which is because he's so sensitive, he wants to do more. Or he gets, but he gets distracted by the doing. He's got, three young boys and his wife and the business. And so you get distracted by all this stuff. And none of that is relevant to what his job is.
Right.
Obviously the children are the recipient of his love, as is his wife. And in his business, he's trying to, feed people. He's giving them love. It's very important. But it's not the success of it that, I love working with clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's not just working with clients. A lot of therapists whom I've been around, they don't have much heart inside. It's kind of shut down. So I try to go through my day leaving everybody a little better off than I found them, even if I don't have it to give. Just something where they feel seen and there's an opportunity for love to be exchanged.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm experiencing, when I'm in the city especially, the absolute absence of a lot of people to make any use of that. Getting in elevators especially. It's a whole new younger crowd in my building, my apartment building, so we see each other. But people pretend that the other people don't exist. So they're not able to make use of love. And that is pretty bad.
Because when it comes at them, they're kind of like, whoa, what's that, man? It's love.
Well,
they're like, really?
They just, they don't, I think that technology has helped a lot.
Mm.
So it is now acceptable to have as your major life partner a machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not me.
Not you. Yeah.
No. And I sensed something because Rachel was just on the cusp of, and when she was growing up, that IMs and stuff. And I really explained that my experience with that don't practice having a relationship with the machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Facebook, I think, is that. I'm personally not on it unless it's related to a launching pad for a course I'm taking or something.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of it being a social, a way of being social, I am not in any way a fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, but you feel like you're connected. I mean, I
but
had
you're not.
A couple years ago. I know I had this at my reunion a couple years back. And one of the women said to me, you know, we didn't talk to each other at the reunion at all. I said, I know, but I talk to you all the time on Facebook. And then she kind of looked at me and I went, but we don't really talk. I just know what's going on in your life. So my, you know, I know about you part is handled, but I actually don't know how you're doing. That's a really good point, you know, because we lose track of that with the busy, busy.
Right.
So, but,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So we're done. We'll be back next week at 9 a.m. You want to do next week 9 a.m. too?
Sure. And I hope that you have a wonderful time.
I know. I'm so looking forward to it. It's really the assembly of my tribe, Michael. I feel like I'm with my tribe. So
are you far away from Bryce Canyon?
We did Bryce Canyon 2 days ago. We went here in Vegas Friday.
Uh-huh.
And then we did Bryce Canyon Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then
were
here Wednesday. Yeah.
Good.
Right. So now we're in Zion, and then we're here till Tuesday, and then I head back to Vegas, and then come home on Thursday. So
okay,
a little vacay on either side of the conference. Very nice.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm happy. So, yay! All right. Well, big hugs and lots of love.
And to you, and to everybody else. I hope you have a good week.
Yeah, I have a good week, folks. It'll be a new moon, so think new things. But create new things in your life. So, and the British lady said, we're done, so we're done.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.